Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wholeness Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Catherine, intuitive coach specializing in mindset mastery and committed to bringing you back to wholeness, the truth of who you were before you ever thought you were less than, whether it's due to a number on the scale, a trauma, or challenges in life. So many of us have limiting beliefs that we somehow aren't enough, and I'm here to tell you it's just not true. As a leader in transformation, having been a coach for almost a decade, with a background as a nutritionist, fitness expert, and hypnotherapist, I specialize in emotional and mindset mastery with a spiritual connection to support you in living your best life in a body that you love. Listen each week to receive expert guidance, live coaching, and have your questions answered. It's time for you to have wholeness now.
Oh my God. Okay. Emily, I am so excited to have you here today. We're going to dive into all the things. But first and foremost, I just want to introduce everybody. Emily Rivera is an incredible intuitive coach. You've been intuitive since a child and led and taught by a variety of divine manifestations, right? And we're going to get into this, but it's recently identified as the Saints of Light, and you've been working with them. And also, and now helping so many to really get clear on different things that are going on in their own lives, but mainly through your, I guess, most recent thing that we can talk about as well is, you know, the mass amount of loss really being brought to your knees that brought you to a place where you, where it seems you went even deeper and came out even more connected and stronger and able to support the masses that you do now. So first and foremost, welcome, and I'm so excited. Let's just dive into intuitive. Can you explain what intuitive means to you? Because I think word gets thrown out a lot, and I think people kind of get confused on what is the big difference between intuitive, psychic. They say she's an empath. They say this, right? Because I know I'm intuitive and I have my own experience, but then I talk with other people and it always fascinates me, their journey, when their connection began, just kind of all of that. So what does intuitive mean for you?
So I actually love that you're starting here because you're the first person who's ever asked me that. So it's one of those things that I'm like, ooh, this is a great way to start. And it's perfect because in so many ways you identified that. It's like we have certain expectations, and our expectations can be limited into what we can access and what we have available to us, right? Yes. And if I'm saying intuitive or psychic or whatever it might be, there might be a limitation into what else that could mean.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm sure you know, and just your listeners to know, I get guidance like in the moment. So there's going to be a few times I'll say, oh, I'm being shown this or I'm being shown that. But one of the things that just right away when you asked the question, I saw a vision of me as a little girl. And I was shown how even though my body, my physical body was perceived as small, let's say most people can perceive, okay, that's a 3-year-old, that's a 4-year-old, that's a 5-year-old. Yeah. But my true self was bigger than that. And they showed me a vision of me sitting playing on the floor with my brother. And I was shown my full self. Like it went beyond that little body. And then I could see my brother going beyond that little body. And for me, and again, moving away from the label of intuitive, it's like, it's that part of you that knows that it's bigger than the body, that it knows it's bigger than this physical reality that we're in, and that it knows that there's so many accessibilities, like there's so many things that we have accessible to us that go beyond what we see, what we can touch, what we can like perceive. And they're saying the senses, the human senses, you know, there's this greater part of us that is leading not just us in the right direction, but it's also helping us to better perceive how to relate with others, how to serve, and they're saying the word respond, like how to best respond within all circumstances, the high, the low, the in between. It's like there's this greater, I love that. Thank you. They're saying wiser. There's always this wiser part of us that's leading us along the way. And that is my current moment in this present moment with you, how they and myself feel guided to define that.
Oh my God. I love speaking with other intuitives because I am always sitting there looking up and out windows and going, oh yeah, thank you. And people are like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, you know, me people. I wanted to clarify because I think that just like saying the word God, there's all of those projections on what, and I feel people's walls kind of go up or expectations set around like, oh, you're going to tell me your future, or just around astrology and like, just there's so many different things. And I do think the word gets thrown out. And so I love the way that you're really speaking to being connected to the limitless nature of our very beings before human consciousness projections, pre-programming really got kind of set in. Yeah. Or at least that's kind of, you know, what I'm getting from you. So for you though, this started for you as a young girl and I was reading as I was studying on you, girl. And you look gorgeous, by the way. I love the yellow. I'm fascinated by everyone's story. So did you see things, you know, and for everybody listening, there's different forms in which, you know, there's clairsentient, where, you know, you can just know things, you can feel things, you can see things, you can hear things. So for you, was it all of the above? Did you actually, would you see physical spirits come or angels, if you will? Like, what is that for you?
So for me, the main path of experience with the intuition and guidance and has been audible. Now, it's been audible and visual, but the most that I receive is just a lot of audible guidance and visual. So since I was little, I would hear conversations or I would see what I call masters just come in and they would teach me. They would teach me about humanity and they would say that, you know, there's work or things that I was going to be doing in helping humanity. So they would help me understand like human nature. They would help me understand like mind stuff. I mean, I call it training. They've been training me since little and even in high school and middle school, like how to talk to somebody, how to help someone. And it's just been, it's been part of the journey and mostly has been auditory. But with that, it's been, they're showing me a vision of it's been merged in seeing as well. But the seeing sometimes can be, they want me to say the word interfering. So sometimes the visuals can be, they can interrupt what can be received, if that makes sense, because we all have perceptions. So, right, I'll see a vision and, you know, in my own innocence, I can deliver what I feel the vision might be, but it is really my responsibility to share it with someone or whatever it is so that I can be more open into like, okay, it may not be what you think it is. So it's usually come audibly, but again, also the visual of it has been there as well. The audible part has been more of like, okay, this is it with. And it's been that way. But one thing that I'm audibly being encouraged to really deliver for everybody is that we all have our own unique, like, let's even call it like love language. I know love language is like that idea of how do you interact with someone and how you feel loved, right? And how you share love. Well, we each have our own language. We all have our own unique soul language, intuitive language, and we perceive it very differently, but all of us have access to it. And the thing that most people may not remember is that they're like, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. But if they can, you know, if they can just, you know, lean in and like take time to be more of an observer of their lives, of their own accessibility. And like, they're like, you know what? I feel more, or I get like hits of knowing, or I get, and they can own that and lean into that and perfect that. The beautiful thing is that we become open, like we open up, like keys start to unlock within our consciousness in which we receive more, right? Mm-hmm. We receive from all different channels. Because right now for me, it's like all my channels are open. You know, sometimes I'll see somebody eating something and I'll taste it, or somebody will be talking this about something and I'll smell it. You know,
so I get it, like, girl. I'm like, please, I'm like, stop. So, you know, it's one of those things. I do believe everyone's intuitive and they can cultivate those gifts. And I do believe some are born already at an enhanced pace, if you will. Why do you believe that there are some guides, angels, you know, we'll just say, guides, that come to others that don't, you know, that they're, why do you believe that they select certain people over the, you know, everybody? Or do you believe that it's just that they, not everybody is tuning in to hear what's available?
Well, it's really all about purpose. You know, it's like, if you really think about it, it's all about purpose. And if we think of like the well-known, recognized people who've changed our collective and who've made an impact in this world, if they would have been as open, it would have been different, right? Their story, that which fueled their fire, their passion to move into action wouldn't have been the same. So it's really connected with purpose. And I feel strongly that the reason this has been part of my experience is because it's part of my purpose. You know, since young, I've been given the, I want to say permission, even though that's not the right word, but that's what's coming up in my mind right now. It's like, I've been given permission to be able to like be of love and healing vehicle for people, because it's been part of my purpose. It's carried through, you know, from childhood to who I am now. And it's not my work. This is like my life. It's my lifestyle. This is how I live. I'm constantly talking about it. My kids know about it. My family, my friends. It's like, it's my norm. And that's the thing. It's like, we all have a norm that we've been directed through life, because it's part of who we are here to deliver. Like, we all have a unique purpose. We all have a unique gift. And it's kind of like, it's not about what we missed out because this is not available, or we're not able to do this. It's because like, like everything, the way that has aligned in my story, in my history, and in my path has helped me perfect who I came here to be. And I feel strongly that that's why it's different for everyone. But celebrating that our own accessibility into knowing who we are and really delivering more of that and being more of a positive impact that is becoming accessible for us all.
So, you know, I find there's some that are able to take their gifts and own them and share them and make them a part powerfully in what they're doing. And then there's others that their empathic intuitive ability is actually, they felt it more of a curse. Mm-hmm. Heightened sensitivity, you know, just feeling too much and playing more into aspects of self that are more in the people pleasing learned at a young age, just because they could, that the feelings were overwhelming, the tapping in. What can we say for anybody that's listening that's like, I heard things too. I know things. I feel very deeply. I know I'm very intuitive, but I haven't been able to really own it. My, you know, my community or my family doesn't really accept it or believe in it. Or I've found it to be more of a curse than a gift. Mm-hmm. What can we tell them to start to shift that, you know, and turn it into something that supports them?
So this is more of a practical response, because it's really about, you know, it's the same thing. This applies to everything in life. Like, what is our mindset, right? What is our story? What's the mindset? What's the expectation behind it? You know, because I mean, most people can say that I've been very empathic, and I still am, you know, and I see stuff. But there's been, whether you call it training or whether it's just because how I've been built, it's like I've come to remind myself, and it doesn't mean I haven't had those moments where it's like way too much. I'm like, okay, guys, this is way too much. It hurts my bones, or it's like way too much, especially when things are moving from people. Sometimes it's too much. But I always go back to remembering that. And again, it's like, what stories do you have about life itself? Yeah. That I've been prepared for this. Like, that's a story I always go back to, no matter what's happening, no matter how it's too much or overwhelming. I always take a breath and remind myself, I've been prepared for this. There's nothing that I'm feeling or seeing or perceiving that I'm not prepared for. The question is, how can I remember I've been prepared for this? So then it's like, what actions do I need to take to emphasize that and further cultivate that? And the same applies for people who are empathic. That, and I've said this so many times, the people who are empathic are the most powerful healers and the most powerful individuals that are part of this planet. Because they're here with the ability to shift individuals and collective. And they're, the reason they feel that stuff is because they have a powerful source within them to create change for another, right? So it's about owning that. And the recommendation with that is, like, take time to identify what's a powerful story that you can move into owning that reflects the truth. Because the idea that in any way such a gift is a curse, again, I can understand and empathize, you know, I can understand. There's been experiences that have reiterated the story or have reiterated and confirmed, like, no, this is real. Like, this is not my reality. But it's about also understanding that we have the power within ourselves, like knowing and owning that we're more than this physical body. We have access to redefine who we are and how we choose to perceive what's unfolding. Because ultimately, when we do that, that's when we gain true power. That's when we gain control. You know, the biggest thing that we can own is really reminding ourselves that we, nobody in outside of us, no experience, nothing can ever, ever define who. That would be my recommendation. It may not be the most, the most gentle, and but it's so powerful. And it's part of what I see with, you know, I get to work with a lot of light workers. I get to coach, you know, and meet with individuals who have had this story passed down. And that's the thing. A lot of time is just passed down. And maybe there's adults in people's lives that did not know how to nurture it or talked it down or insulted them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And in a lot of families, I even know in my own, it was, oh, you're so sensitive. You're so emotional. So emotional. It was also, you know, feared, you know, my mom was afraid of it, you know? And so it was interesting, because it wasn't something, that was super accepted. So I can understand that if it's not really fostered and positioned or deemed as a gift and something to trust in, then you can end up kind of on the other side of that. But I also fully believe on the other side of that, you can also choose. And I love what you're saying, which is, you know, you get to choose the story with it. You get to choose how you operate within it and how you own it, and what you make that mean for you and turning it into, you know, a superpower where you're like, wait, you know, where you're saying like they have the power to shift and to see things and feel things that others don't. So I wanted to ask you, you work heavily.
Yeah. Can I add to that real quick? Cause I'm audibly hearing guidance on it. Are you okay with that?
My God, of course.
Okay. So one of the things that I recommend, and I actually do this a lot with the people and you know, when I do coaching, is that my suggestion or my recommendation is for someone who's having a hard time. And again, I've been there. So I'm just sharing some of the stuff that I myself have worked on. So it's not like, oh, this is like, no, I can empathize with that experience and the journey because I've had people in my life say stuff. I've had my stepdad used to call me schizophrenic because I would literally hear the voices and talk, you know? So it's about making sure it always goes back to that loving the self, but we're not going into that right now. But my encouragement with this and anything else that is not moving or supportive, or you're feeling overwhelmed with, or you're feeling, you know, unempowered. They're showing me the word empowered and they're showing me it's like you feel like you don't have that empowerment. It's like, identify, okay, what are my expectations and beliefs about this? So about intuition or about being empathic, what are my expectations and beliefs about this? And just write them down. Like, this has to be a process in which you engage the conscious mind and write those stuff down. Even if it sounds silly, just write it down. And then move to the right side of the paper and just say, okay, well, what is something that if I gave myself permission to believe or expect what is something, even if it's this little, and I feel it just this little, what would that look like and what could that be? Then write it on the right. And then the next phase of that is actually go and find it. Find other people who can exemplify and show you that it's possible, right? There's a lot of books. There's a lot of speakers. There's a lot of people who are as sensitive and empathic and in tune and have felt overwhelmed, and let them teach you through their own example of where they too can step into and who they too can become.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. So one of your things that you love doing, or seems to be, is really supporting people in finding their soul's purpose, their mission, that vision. And I think at right now, especially at this juncture with COVID, and I think a lot of people are reflecting and asking themselves, am I living the life that I want to be living? Am I in a career that fulfills me and lights me up? Am I making the impact, or, you know, am I where I want to be? Especially too, on the holidays, I find this to be even a heightened reflective time of where was I this time last year? What's going on? So how, what to you, what does it mean to know your soul's vision or soul's blueprint, if you will?
It's interesting because you're talking and moving energy on my throat, which, you know, the interesting part of the question is that fear itself, when we have the fear that we're not on purpose or that we're not hitting the mark or that we're not where we should be. Like that's the fear itself is actually what's keeping us from being in it. You know, I think a lot of times we have this idea that our purpose has to be this grandiose thing and like this big thing. But, you know, reality is that any moment that we feel lit up, any moment that we feel in joy, any time that we feel this surge of excitement moving through us, we are on purpose because it reflects that we are being fulfilled. You know, and the reality is the purpose of all of our lives is to get to that place where we can feel fulfilled with our choices, with who we're spending time with what we're giving our energy and attention. And if things aren't moving in that direction, it's like life is offering us, you know, through contrast, the opportunity is like, okay, where can I modify or make the changes necessary to be more in that state of flow? But aside from that, when I say purpose, it's like, and I'm asking them how they want me to deliver this because there's so many ways to answer this. I know, you know, for example, they're giving me a vision of someone, and it's actually was in an interview. And part of she felt very drawn into the idea of helping people in suicide, being who were suicidal. And by her just following her song, by her just following her own style of being herself, she was actually helped. She had helped multiple people who were suicidal by just her showing up and being herself. And I think that's part of what most of us forget is that if we can just commit to show up and be ourselves, no matter how that looks like, by just showing up, it could be on radio, or it could just be showing up with your family, or it could be the way you show up while you're at the supermarket. It's like just committing to just showing up and being true to you. That's us on purpose. Now, aside from that, though, we can add, and they're showing me a tree. It's like a tree that we buy, let's say, right? It's like we buy a tree. Its purpose is to be a Christmas tree or whatever, right? Now we're in the holiday. So it's like the purpose of the tree was to just be a tree. So the purpose of our lives is to just be in this life, to be engaged with this beautiful gift that we've been blessed with. Now we can add ornaments to it, right? We can add lights. We can make that purpose a little more grandiose if we feel that inspiration, if we feel that call. And it goes back to honoring that. Like, what is my call? What is that thing that, again, goes back to honoring that lighting up? Like, what lights me up? What makes me feel the desire, the passion, you know? And maybe it might be, thank you. Oh, I love that. And it might even, they're showing me a vision of a mom playing with her baby and the baby just laughing and laughing. And it's like, for the mom, she's being on purpose in that moment. And that's another thing that I they're telling me to emphasize is that we have different phases of our life, right? And our purpose looks very different in our face. And, you know, as children, we have a different purpose. As teenagers, we have a different purpose. Yeah. As in our 20s and 30s, our purpose just as much as we as humans evolve throughout time. And it's not about one purpose, but understanding that there's many different colors to our purpose. And it goes back to, again, checking in. It's like, what's calling me? What's calling me? What's pulling me? What lights my fire? And what can I do to, I was going to say serve, but they don't want me to say that, so that I can further offer it to others. And it doesn't mean that people have to serve. That's why they don't want me to say that. It's about just offering it to others by being yourself. Maybe you're meant to be a dancer. If you have that fire, follow that fire. Offer yourself to others in that way and being authentic with who you are.
Oh my God, so good. Like, so good. I've written down, you know, I have a belief that we're really here, not in self-service in this way in which it's like everything we do has to be for somebody else. I actually think we're here for our soul's expansion and endless joy and evolution. And our soul's like, yippee, like, what do we get to do? Let's try all the things, like, let's keep going. And that it's really the call to stay uniquely you, that we're all given that, like, our own blueprint of our talents and uniqueness that just needs to be shared with the world. And what I see is, like, that a fracture happens when, and I know this because I've done this, where I've tried to subscribe to, and I see this all the time with other people, whether it's, you know, clients of mine and they're trying to subscribe to another business coach's model that works, or, oh, this person lost weight this way, or this person found love this way, and, or this is how I should do this. And they've gone away, whether they're an actor or what have you, gotten away from themselves and more tied to trying to be something other than themselves. And it's through that separation that they experience pain and struggle versus actually, I really see this, those that like, how do I say this, realize are their own actualization of self. The earlier that happens, the further they go, the faster with more success. And I'm always like, yeah, you realize, going back to what we originally said about knowing the limitless nature of our very being, when you're just a yes to who you are and what you're being called forth to do. So what you're sharing, I'm like, yes. So for now, here's the thing. Why, if we have these soul callings and these things that feel so good, and they're pulling us forward and they're lighting us up and we're good at them, or they just are like, oh my God, why is there also so much resistance or so many people not aligned with that path nor allowing it?
So are you, just want to make sure I'm understanding.
That makes sense.
Question. You mean like, why are so many people not living that path, or that
not living their soul's purpose, not allowing it, you know, not like going like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to write a book, but then they're, you know, they just keep staying in the doldrum of a job that makes them miserable. Or I'm just using a book because for some reason, creative endeavors always seem to get added in as like, what are, why do you think that is, that there's that path that you are open to, that your soul opens you to at many different ways and stages of life? And you'll hear people go, yeah, I've always gotten brought back to the piano, you know, or like, that's that one thing. But that people still resist it, even though there's so much joy.
It's perfect because they audibly told me something and I wrote it down in my notes when I was meditating, just being present and being open for a conversation. And it makes sense why they were giving me that. So I'm going to refer a little bit to my notes, but I also want to, you know, we are by nature, our human nature is to fit in, you know, as part of our human nature. As babies, you know, we organically look outside ourselves to learn, to walk, to like, okay, how do I respond to my environment? How do I respond to people? So we have been designed, right, to be in a community. So what happens is that a lot of us, or a lot of our society and the way we are taught and trained, it's like this gets reinforced over and over and over, the importance and the need to fit in, right?
Yeah.
The importance of the need to fit in. So what happens is that when people feel the pull, like, oh, I feel pulled for piano, or I feel pulled for dancing, or I feel pulled to share guidance with people, it's like if it doesn't fit the typical norm that has been passed down generation through generation through generation, right, in the school system and in the learning system, it's like it's kind of like you stand out somehow as an oddball. And it requires courage. And the thing is that we've been equipped with the courage. And depending how much we've been nurtured through it, or maybe how much we've been willing to push through, you know, everybody else's story and every other fears that might come up and move into that courage, you know, it takes a lot of courage for people to be unique and honor, for them to honor themselves. Because again, most people don't know or understand. And it's not anybody's fault. It's just we've been trained like that. So generation through generation, we keep being told the same story, the same expectation, the same things that should be done. And we move through life with certain rules, right? If I'm a mom, this is how I should be. Rules like I should go to college. Rules like, you know, this is how I should be in a relationship. This is how I should talk as a lady. This is how I should be as a man. So there's so many rules. And the thing that's been interesting with our culture is that, you know, it's, of course, it's always been happening, but there's a lot of rules that are being broken and a lot of things that are coming out into the public, which are also having us question even more, including with COVID and other things that are happening. They're having us as a collective question a lot of these rules. And it's a very powerful time for more people to step into their purpose, because they're going to get most people, a lot of people, actually, it's how they want me to say it, are going to get to a place like, okay, what other rules are part of my life that are no longer required? And I think a lot of people, the reason they're not walking in the path is because they haven't been questioning what rules are driving them, what rules are guiding them, and what rules, you know, because a lot of times I talk to people all the time and they're like, well, I feel free. You know, I decided to do this. And then I'm like, well, why did you decide to do that? And then the person's like, well, because I should do that. You know, and right away when you hear the word should, or because that's what you should do as a person, or, you know, I'm a mom, it's expected to do this, you know, it's like, and they're moving energy to that. It's like we're binding, right? We're binding ourselves in such a way that we are not really living free. So I think that's a thing that's been moving with our collective, and that's why so many people are out of that.
I love it.
Path. But again, the paradox of everything, or at least the way that I've perceived and come to learn about life and people that I've worked with and even with myself, is that life is always trying to do us a favor to redirect us. Right? Bringing people, even if they're chaotic, it's bringing loss, it's bringing chaos, it's bringing beautiful things and love and whatever it might be. But life's always trying to redirect us, right? And a lot of times it's like we have forgotten that it's okay for us to give ourselves permission to be happy, for us to give ourselves permission to feel fulfilled. Because a lot of times people who are not on the path or who are not honoring that call for themselves, they're not happy. They're not fulfilled.
Yes.
So our society teaches us, okay, let's numb it. Like, let's find ways to numb it.
It with asking the questions. You know, I think so many just, I think they've been caught so in the busy. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think a lot don't want the answer, because then you have to do something about it. And that's what scares so many. So for the people listening going, yes, like I'm ready. I'm going to like get my courage. Like I'm ready to make some moves, but I truly just don't know what my soul wants. I don't have clarity. I'm interested in a lot of different little things, or I know I want to do a random class here or there, or I enjoy this and that, but I don't know. How would you suggest finding out or steps to gain that clarity on what that next step for yourself would be to get clear on your soul's vision, mission, your next step of what's going on the planet, which I think is so exciting personally, even though I know that there's a lot of hardship as well. Yes. So what would you suggest for that?
Well, you know, it's, and I'm audibly hearing, and they're showing me a conversation I actually had with my mom years ago. Because I asked her, I said, Mom, what makes you happy? She's like, oh, my kids and the family. And I said, but what really makes you happy? And she's like, you know, I don't know. And I think that's that they're showing me that conversation. What I shared with her, it's like, I think most of us don't know ourselves enough.
Yes.
You know, we're taught to take time to learn about our work. We're taught to take time to learn about other people, about how to do things correctly and how to do things right. But we're not encouraged to take time to get to know ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And what I would encourage people to do with that is like, take time to get to know yourself, like check in, go into your memory bank, you know, it's like, when was I the happiest? Yeah. You know, what's that memory that I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back there again. You know, what is that, those things that lit you up and who was part of it? You know, yes. What kind of people were part of that? Was it because there were people who were more introspective and quiet, or was it people that were like excited? And then also like, who do you admire in life? Who do you like, who do you look up to, or who are the people that you're like, oh, they're just really cool. Then identify, like, what is it about them that you like? What is it about them? What is it that they do that have you feeling that way? Because one of the things that I've taught my daughter since young, and I've just been shown this since high school, actually since middle school, is that when you admire something in somebody else, when you admire in somebody else, it's because it's available within you as well. You know, Absolutely. That's why it excites you. That's what
like
you
the have. Soul's resonance. Yeah.
Yes. So it's kind of like somebody else's invitation to say, hey, be you, like you can be this too. Yeah. And, you know, part of what I would encourage people is like to take that time to be present into those questions, right? And into that observation, and then go try things out. You know, when I got divorced, one of the things that I committed to is doing something new every month. It ended up being that I was trying new things. It seemed like every week, but I had so much fun.
But it opens you to that. And then you start going, oh, I want more. It's like you get over that hump of resistance.
Yes.
So I think we get so conditioned. Sorry. Yes.
No. And they're showing me a vision. It's like we all go through this with every transition of our lives. Right. So every breakup, every loss, every transition, every coming of age, let's say, every transition, we confront this. Who am I now? We're going to be can no longer be. So it's about that state of, you know, the most beautiful thing we can do for ourselves is to remain in that state of awe and discovery and push ourselves to be in that state of awe and discovery.
Emily, oh my gosh, I could just keep going. So I don't want to lightly touch on this because I don't feel like it's doing it due justice. But I also am aware of our time and I want to respect your time. You endured a lot of tragedy at one time and a lot of loss, I should say. I guess losing, there were three close deaths, right? And this was, and I don't want to like gloss over this at all because my heart is with you. And when I was reading about that, I was like, my gosh. When loss comes, and again, I do feel it's important to talk about this because there's a lot of people going through a lot. Mm-hmm. And part of that's life and part of that's really enhanced right now. With a lot going on in the world. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are in partnerships where they're the one that's really of the growth mindset and the other is not. And that's a struggle. And then others experiencing loss of loved ones, jobs, financial struggles, and more. How did you stay so connected to divine connection, to trust in that, to trust in the good, to trust in life, to trust that you were being guided and led, and allow for that to be something that actually propelled even greater depth of connection and love and trust and happiness in your life?
And thank you for the question. And it's funny because as you're talking, I get emotional thinking about it. You know, for me, it's interesting because my first true loss happened with my daughter and her disabilities. And that's another story. I'm not going to get into that too much. Or actually, I'm not going to get into that. But when my dad was really sick with cancer. So my best friend died. That was the first loss. And it was like, I had an amazing year so far. So all these amazing things were happening. I went to Bali. Became close friends with my mentor. That like, there's so many things that were happening. And then it's like March came and it was like, you know, I lost my best friend very suddenly. And then my dad's cancer got worse. So he started regressing very quickly. And then my stepsister. And I know we don't have much time, so I'm going to go through it really quickly. And, you know, as I confronted all these things, like I reminded myself, like, I've been prepared for this. You know, and one of the things that I always tell myself, I've been prepared for this. And then secondly, everything always changes. You know, I remind myself that. What one thing that's guaranteed about life is that we're always in transition. My emotions, even though they felt overwhelming, I knew that there would be a day where I wasn't going to feel that pain or that sadness as much as I was feeling it. So I would remind myself, because the worst thing that can happen with someone, and that's when people feel at a loss and they feel stuck. And they, so unfortunately, some people consider, you know, suicide and things like that, is when they feel stuck. That there is not a way out. And it's hard to see how that way out will ever show up. You know, it's like they feel hopeless, right? Because they don't see a way out. They think things will never change. So I very quickly start reminding myself of that. Like, okay, things are going to change and they're going to get better. And it's about me just doing my best right now. So I talk to myself a lot, just as much as they talk to me.
Oh my God, I talk to myself all the time. Yeah. You know,
it's like the understanding that we are our own gatekeepers. Like we are the ones who decide what comes in and what comes out always, right? So I reminded myself of that. And then I took it a day at a time. I showed up every day for that day and I tried my best to do the best that I could. And that's all I had to commit to. Because if I can make it through that day, I knew that I could make it through the next day. And it's not about plan. It wasn't when we're in a state of survival, because that's what happens to us. When we go through loss, when we go through pain, when we go through trauma, we enter organically, human nature is like we enter survival. We're trying to survive from what we perceive is going to kill us. We're going to die from pain, right? So the important thing in survival is about, okay, I know I can make it to the end of today. So what can I do to do the best that I can with myself and those that are part of my life, to love them, to love myself, so that I can make it to that end of that day? And that was it. It's about, it was about me committing to being present daily. And, you know, while I took care of my dad, while he was regressing and while he passed, it's like, it was like, well, I took care of him knowing he was transitioning. It was like, okay, I can only be here. Because we can feel overwhelmed at the idea of what's going to happen, right? The fear of the loss, the fear of not seeing him again. When I went into those places, that became overwhelming. But if I knew I could just be there and offer myself fully and completely and pour myself into that moment, that's the best that I could do. And I think that's also what happens when we go through loss and things like that, is that we expect too much of ourselves. Which it's healthy on times, but not always. Like we have to give ourselves permission.
Yep.
Be patient where we're at.
And to have grace.
Yes.
You know, I think it's especially, you know, I know men and women are listening, and especially ladies. It's like there is a hard wiring in our DNA to be extra hard and to expect 1,000 times more. And I think grace, it's just that, and I love that you just said, you know, one day at a time, and transition's inevitable. Like we're always in that transition. And you know, Emily, you are just such a light, and, it's, yeah, my heart just absolutely. And so thank you for sharing. Cause I know that was really, I just know that there's so many listening that's going to support. So I really appreciate you going there and yes. in our last few minutes, and then I would love to share, and we'll put all of your links, obviously, in the notes and details here, so everyone can follow you. I would love to know, I always ask two questions. What advice, what is one bit of advice you would give your 10-year-old self that you know now?
So I've thought about this so many times, because then I'm like, I imagine myself in the future, you know, telling me advice who I am today. So I do, this is an exercise I do and I love it. so if I could tell myself an advice, it would be listen, and follow. And it goes into like, listen to every insight, every hit, every guidance that was ever delivered, and just follow, like fully.
Oh, I love that.
And I feel like
just that's blindly listen.
Yes. That's applicable to all of us. Like, we feel a pull sometimes, or a thought, I should call this person, or it's like, oh, I should go here. It's like, just honor when that shows up, because it will never fail you. It will never fail you.
Never.
That would be one of my advice that I would go back and remind myself.
It is so much better to do that than endure the alternative. When you ignore it, and then you're like, what would have happened? Oh my God. No one said that yet. I love that. Okay. And then what does wholeness mean to you?
I'm audibly hearing one more thing, and I feel really bad to do this. They're audibly saying to you one thing that they want to go, if I could go back and say to myself, because they're wanting people to know this.
Yeah.
Make it a priority to love yourself. Make it a priority to love yourself. It will change everything.
I needed like an amen. It's like the one thing, like, I'm like if I could just give every person a lobotomy and just be like, you are perfect exactly as you are. Love you. There is nothing more that you need to do. Like, yes. Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. And then, in our one minute, what does wholeness mean?
So wholeness is very different for everybody, I perceive, but wholeness is when you feel you can sit back and take a deep breath and just say, I feel complete. And it's not about complete, like I should have done this goal or that, but just being with yourself and like feeling like who you are right now. Like, who I am right now, I am complete. And it goes back to the whole idea of loving yourself. Like, that to me is wholeness. Because when you get to that place organically, your mind goes into wholeness. Your body goes into wholeness. Your emotions go into wholeness.
Yes.
That to me is like, thank you. They're calling it that full circle. If we can just hold ourselves in that full circle where we can just love me, like love me. If I can just love me every day, I organically reboot into wholeness. Our body, you do that.
Oh my God. Vibing. So yes. Okay. Where can everybody follow you, find you? What are the best places?
They can go to Instagram at Awaken Superhuman, and they could also go to at The Angel Coach. I offer a lot of inspiration there on Instagram. And then also on Facebook, you could follow me, my personal account, Emily Rivera. I do lives and guidance there. And then my website is theangelcoach.com and then awakensuperhuman.com. And really just enjoy a lot of the stuff that gets delivered in the social media, because I know it has changed many lives and it can support many people. And that's my desire.
She's incredible, guys. Check her out. Follow. Again, all the links will be below. And Emily, just thank you so much for being here, for your time, for your guidance, for your heart, for the way you show up in the world. It's so needed and so loved and so appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast episode was super helpful for you, please share with your friends, guys. Sharing is caring. What would mean the world is an awesome review on iTunes. Simply click and give your 5-star review, so I can keep bringing you great content to support you in shining bright, playing big, and living as your most beautiful, authentic, and powerful self in a body you love. This show doesn't stop here, so join our exclusive and private Facebook community called Wholeness with Melissa Catherine. Simply ask to join to receive endless complimentary videos, monthly Facebook lives exclusive for this community, and be a part of an awesome sacred, safe space of incredible, like-minded women just like you, where you can feel heard, express, and receive additional guidance. And I have something else that's incredible for you this month. So if you've been struggling to understand why you sabotage the things that you want, girl, this is my zone of genius and this is what I do. So I have created a quiz for you based off of my international best-selling book called Eat Right for Your Archetype. This quiz is going to help you to identify which archetype you are so you can break free from self-sabotage to release weight and step into your power in life. So this is so much more. Even if you don't have to release weight, this is about being healthy, and your health and wellness is what empowers you to your greatness. So simply head on over to melissacatherine.com/quiz to take that quiz today, and you will receive your results right away, right in your inbox. All right. Thanks so much, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.